Haven't done anything yet. I'm going to start off showing a little section of a videotape that we produced last year called Four Corners of Earth, which is on Seminole women and their roles, both their traditional roles and their roles in the modern society in the way Seminole life is changing. So this is just a little couple minute segment, and that'll give me something to talk about. No, don't, but.
I'll get it. It's just for the tape recording, I make it.
There we are.
This is Betty Mae Jumper, you've been hearing about all day. She's demonstrating basket making over in the park, and I hope tomorrow afternoon y'all get a chance to go over and see her working. But she's also well known as a storyteller. A couple comments I want to make on the videotape to start with. It illustrates the importance of the role of women, especially in teaching and teaching cultural things like stories, and the role that they're taking in the modern Seminole life, teaching the kids, especially in Hollywood, who don't speak the language, aren't around the traditional life all the time. They're trying to formally teach that. And you notice they talked about the legends. They're starting to write down the legends, so the kids will both learn the language and learn the stories. And then that final section was the story that she mentioned about how the rabbit brought fire to the people, which is a common type of Seminole story. Indian stories in general, and Susan covered some of this today, there are several types. One type is the myth, which, as you all know now, is sacred. Usually, it is usually set in the distant past or in a different world or an earlier world. The principal characters are usually gods or animals, and they usually deal with creation and origins of things. And then a second type is the trickster stories, which the rabbit is a common trickster figure. I heard you say on a tape we've got in our archive that the lying rabbit is the equivalent to Bugs Bunny today. The same. It's very common in black folklore also, and there's been a lot of mixing, particularly in the southeastern United States, between black and Indian lore, and that rabbit, trickster rabbit figure is a good example. Brer Rabbit is the same thing. It doesn't happen so much in other Indian cultures because they didn't have the influence of the blacks. And that's real important in Florida because before Florida was a state, a lot of runaway slaves came down here when they escaped, and a lot of them lived with the Seminole and worked with the Seminole, so there's been a lot of cultural interchange, and that shows up in the stories. I want Betty Mae to talk a little bit about how she learned stories and how stories work in Seminole culture in general. Now, you were born around Lake Okeechobee, on the Brighton Reservation?
No, Indiantown.
Indiantown, okay, on the eastern side of Lake Okeechobee. But she moved to Hollywood when she was about 5. But since she was born in that near that reservation where the Creek language is spoken, she learned Creek, but her grandmother knew Miccosukee. So she knows both Indian languages. There are two languages spoken on the two reservations, which are not mutually understandable, but Betty Mae knows both of them. How did you learn these stories when you were growing up?
When in the Seminole family, the older people used to gather the young children, kids, and sit around a campfire, sometimes during the winter time, and they would have a big bonfire, and the older people sit and tell us all the stories. Or sometimes when we had big one chickies, and there's about 5 or 6 kids, in one mosquito net, and my grandmother would lay on one mosquito net, and she would tell stories until we go to sleep. And sometimes it's a scary story if she wants us to hurry up and go to sleep. She tell that, and we all go to sleep. And this is the way I was taught.
Both men and women know the stories and tell them?
Most all the older people used to know. I have my great uncle used to tell the stories too. We would be sitting at the, sometimes when we get through eating, we would be sitting around at the table. And he would sit there and tell for hours some stories. Mm-hmm. And we would learn from him too also. Not only the stories they tell us how to live and how to get along in this world and how to plant, how to grow things. It is taught right there at the table sometimes with older people, and we learn from them at early age. When you reach 8 years old, they start teaching you. Your mother teach you how to cook and sew, and the men take the boys out and teach them how to hunt. So at early age, we learn to survive in this world.
Are some of those lessons included in stories, like our stories, particular stories told to teach particular things?
A lot of things are taught through the stories, yes. Mm-hmm. And tell you the reason why it's told this way, and tell you how the new world happened to be in this world.
Mm-hmm. How are stories told today, or are they? You said it used to be told around the campfire. Are they still told?
Like Susie now, the one that understand and talk Indian, she gather those and tell those kids. But mm-hmm. now that they go to school and mix with the white kids and all that, they lose in their language, and some of them just, you have to teach them in English.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stories now are told in English mm-hmm. because the kids don't understand. But that's part of what the cultural program is trying to do, both teach the language and teach the culture. Let's see. Now, you said there weren't, that you know of, special stories that were told at the Green Corn Dance or for any kind of festivals. There aren't special stories?
They told most of the same stories, but at the Green Corn Dance, they teach you how to live, and mm-hmm. they teach young girls how to dance and teach them how to cook and all that. That's what they teach. And teach the boys how to become leaders and how to be a good hunters.
Does everyone pretty much know basically about the Seminole, sort of their origins and where they are located now? Do I have to go over any of that?
I just wanted to ask how long you've had a written language that's been written down.
It's not written language. We never have written.
Because it looked like they were. The
they've written it
they,
down
they're
now.
Doing it now. Oh. They teach
just in the last few years, I think.
Some of those people are writing as a sound, and that's the way, like Chiki, Chickee, that's the way they spell it now. It sounds Chiki, you know. That's a Chiki that the Seminole lives in, used to. They live in modern homes now, most of them, but older people still out there, and that's what they live. They just write it according to soft spoon, you know. A big old spoon that they used to have a soft key out on there, and they dip with that big spoon and soft key, that's the way they spell it. They put soft and then key on it, K-E on it, and that's the way they spell it.
They've only had to write it since they've deliberately tried to teach it to kids as a second language. So everybody knows all about the stuff.
They might not know the significance of the Green Corn Dance.
I'm not sure I do.
Well, she does.
Yes. You want to talk a little bit about the Green Corn Dance for anyone who doesn't know?
The Green Corn Dance today is not as strict as it was back in my mother's days. It was very strict, and you don't allow outsiders or any other, only Seminoles can go. Only the tribe can go, and not unless they're very special people like medicine men from the other tribe. Well, they invite them to go sometime. But this is the place where they all get together and dance and teach some young people how to dance and how to live. And sometimes this Green Corn Dance is once a year meeting, and everybody from all over the Florida state, wherever they may be, they know certain days it's going to be when the green corn is done, ripe.
What time of year is that?
It's around July, first week in July, or last week in June. It's according to how the corn, and so they get together for 4 days and four nights out there. They started, they clean their camps, and they live according to clans, snake clan, bird clan, plant panther, and all around. There's about 14 clans that live in this village. And here, there's four militia men sits out under that chicky in the middle by the big bonfire, and there's a long pole standing there where they play balls every evening, women against men, and the men can never touch the ball except that ball stick that they carry. And the women can pick it up and throw it. They think it's fair enough. And that's the way. And there's a man that stands on a bull, on there and scrape that pole, and he got charcoal, and he mocked it. The women down below, men on top, and whoever gets the 10 point first is the winner. And that's the way they play. Girls and women plays against men and boys. And they dance first 3 nights or so until middle of the night. And one day they fast. And on that day they had a big meeting. And some of this punishment goes on this. There's some severe punishment sometimes. The people, clans, bring the person that did some real bad things, they bring it to these militias, and whatever they decided. They different clans that sit out there, so whichever that belonged to that clan, they go and pass the sentence on them. Sometimes they kill a person if they think that they should be put to death, whatever he killed a person, somebody else, or something he did very much against the tribal regulation, that's what they did, they kill. Sometimes they cut their ears, and sometimes they split their tongue, and sometimes they tie to the tree and let him sit out there, or her sit out there all day long for 4 days and four nights, and if he survived, well, that's he's free. Or they whip them and tie them to the tree. And sometimes, if it's younger kids, they scratch them on their arms. And then, on a good part, some of them, they're willing marriages. If I like your son, if you like my daughter, and your son likes her, you come and talk to me. And we decide they get married. That's where they get married. And then you decide you like somebody's daughter, and you want your son to marry that girl. Well, you ask for it, and then they agree, and if she's not promised. Sometimes the parents promise children when they're born, and they get married when they get to be a certain age. And so then the last, after they fast all that day, and they have all that meeting all that day, they dance the last night all night long. And on the early in the morning, they had this big pot of that black drink, they call it, but it's a root that they mix it up, and it boils for 4 days. And on the last day, they start using that. And they just put it all of themselves, and they drink it. Then they the men get scratched on the arms, on the legs, on the back, on the front. Sometimes women just want to get scratched on their arm, they can do it. This is what they believe in, purifying the blood, done away with old blood, and start a new year. And then they go, they have a river or canal or pond near it, and that's where they go swimming, and they wash all the old blood off, and the new blood comes in. And then they come back and eat this, they get this green corn. The medicine man will be standing there and get those corn after it boiled it, and pass it to them, and they eat it, and they get that corn and rub it all themselves. And this is the thank the great spirit that they had a good year, and this is the way they end it. And everybody goes home until the next year again. This was the green corn dance. Mm-hmm.
That black drink, is that, by drinking that, is that a purification of some type?
That's what they believed in.
Does it make them throw up?
Sometimes.
That's what I heard. Do you know what it is?
It's mixed with all different roots that they get them. I don't know the roots. I mean, I'm not that. But they have a... There's a sawgrass. It's not the one that cuts your hand. There's not a different kind. And it's, I don't know the name of it. I don't know what you would call it, you know. I don't know. There's a... My mother showed, huh?
I thought it was yopon.
Whatever it is, it grows out in Everglades, and that's what they get the roots out, and that's what they... And then about three or more others they mixed up with, and it balls. It started with a little bit, and kept adding until fourth morning. And they uses it.
And Betty May, don't they there too, on a certain night, they do the scratching ceremony with the boys who are coming of age, don't they?
Yeah, and
that?
They name them. They name them. They got second name. They, when they become an age, about 12, 13, 14 years old, whatever their parents think they age now to become a man, when they become a teenager, that's when they got scratched and they get new name. Just the boys, not the...
And they have to drink the black drink.